This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour. I'm looking over across the way. Drew's on the phone right now. I feel like it's a family member or something. He's on the work phone. It's a number from Kokomo, Indiana.
Talk is that about a random. Real place?
Kokomo, Indiana. I mean, clearly it is. And Drew's having a good convo. Who, Kokomo?
Like, is it spelled like this?
How far is Kokomo? Yeah, I think it is. How far is Kokomo?
Aruba, Jamaica.
Do right, they have a song, but it's just different Indiana cities?
I don't think so.
How far is that from Indianapolis? Who was this?
So it was a listener, actually.
From Kokomo.
A Chiefs fan who lives in Indy. It's more it was a 765 area code, which is one of the many three area codes, I believe, in Indy now because they got a third one.
Okay.
It's not Kokomo exactly.
But the number said Kokomo. I like saying Kokomo.
Came through as Kokomo. Kokomo is probably about a 45-minute drive, I would say, an hour drive, maybe from like the center of Indianapolis.
But he's probably loyal to his hometown team. He's probably a Colts fan, right?
No, he is a Chiefs fan.
What's he calling into this show?
He's a Chiefs fan? Why did he switch?
He is a Chiefs fan and a defender. He said, I am a defender of the Chiefs. He is all-in defender of the Kansas
City
Chiefs.
So he wanted to talk smack to you?
No, he just wanted to say what's up because he knows I'm from Indy and everything like that. So,
oh, okay.
There you go.
Glad you picked it up.
There are people from other cities who don't cheer for their hometown teams. You know, it's not just me.
If your number is an Indiana area code, Drew is required to pick up the phone and talk to you. It has to be an Indiana number.
If you have an Indy number,
then he has to talk to you.
I mean, if it's an Indy number, it'd be 765 or it'd be 317.
Thinking of Indiana, we know that the combine is in Indianapolis. And while we had Brett Veach join us to talk about Travis Kelce's future, one thing he told a national outlet yesterday was something that was going on during the Super Bowl, which maybe makes more sense with those that watch Travis Kelce's performance.
You know, this year, I mean, we're never going to make excuses and talk about it, but yeah. I mean, he was battling with pretty big illness there for the Super Bowl, but listen, the way the Eagles played, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Last part's key, because nobody's saying if Kelce wasn't sick that they would have won, but that's new news. Like, okay, so he had, let's call it the flu or something, going in. That would explain why people were isolating the clips of where he was just kind of walking around on some plays.
Dragging ass on a few.
Look, if you feel miserable, you feel miserable. They can shoot you up with stuff and IVs and all that all they want, but if you're miserable, he's
especially
said serious.
It's 30 to nothing.
I don't know what.
Yeah, it sounds like he probably had a really, really, really bad case of like the flu or
like
any
pneumonia
other,
or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could have been any number of things that kind of fall in that category, but they all, you know, even if it's severe food poisoning, they all kind of land with the same symptoms. You hurt, you're nauseous, you have the body aches, you can't move as fast, you can't think as fast, all the things that normally exist inside of there. I think it's kind of stupid sometimes that we pretend like, just in athletics in particular is where we're bad about this, that context doesn't matter. If you were mad at Travis Kelce for some plays on tape that appeared, his effort was lacking more than you were accustomed to seeing, and you know, for the rest of your career, you have never once questioned that for Travis Kelce. Shouldn't you then, Gold, give him a pass on this one? Like, doesn't it make sense why he would appear on tape to be someone who did not have the same effort or energy or focus as you would expect him to have as a guy who has played tremendously, I would mind, in the postseason almost universally across the board? I don't care about his Super Bowl performance anymore. He could have played the game of his life and not been sick at all. They were still getting their ass kicked.
They were never winning that game. They just were never winning.
And now I got an explanation for why it didn't look like he didn't look like Travis Kelce.
I'll be curious if he ever gets asked. I mean, he'll get asked about it now. Maybe they'll address it on his New Heights podcast. If not, we have to wait till May. I think somebody will ask in the media. I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk to him. Frankly, he does more national media stuff now, but
I would,
he may not even want to answer it. Cause there's probably part of him that didn't even want that to get out there. Cause he didn't acknowledge it at all. But I'd be curious to know, was it just food poisoning? Like, there was a video, he was in New Orleans, him and Taylor and Patrick Mahomes. They all went out to dinner one night on a Friday or Saturday night in New Orleans. They had like paparazzi all around them. Was that the meal, man? Was that the meal that did you in? Some bad oysters.
You still have to
eat. Some bad oysters, man.
Like, it's always the dumb thing to be like, well, if you'd only just chosen that place that didn't give you food poison, you'd be good to go. I mean, sure, yeah.
It's always the seafood, man. It's always the seafood. Chipino.
Not always seafood.
You're Chipino.
The Chipino did not make people sick.
Just saying.
People were sick before. I warned Nick and his lovely now fiance at the time that there was a bug that had hit the tap household that appeared to be very short-lived.
Should have canceled the whole event.
That's obvious now in retrospect. I would have. And then it would have only been the four of us that would have felt like ass instead of also Nick and his soon-to-be wife.
People outside of Kansas City are going to say this is an excuse, but I think if you're honest and listen to the answer from Brett Veach,
he didn't even make it.
Brett Veach at the very end says, I'm not trying to say that we would have changed anything against the Eagles, but I think he's just trying to acknowledge if people are going to beat up one of the pillars of their franchise, he wants to make sure people know, hey, by the way, he wasn't himself. Here's why. That's all I think that was. So you want to call it like covering for your guy? Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is, but it doesn't mean it's not true.
I think there's a big difference.
Right?
And I think people toss around excuse too much. Again, I think this is sports related versus reason. There's everything is not an excuse. Sometimes there are reasons. And in this case, I think the reason why Travis Kelce, who I have a mass amount of evidence, is a playoff performer, is an incredibly hard player, tries hard all the time, elite level talent, has done it for all these years. There's a reason why he didn't look like Travis Kelce. Not an excuse. The reason he didn't look like Travis Kelce is he wasn't well. I don't think there's anything wrong with sometimes saying it's a reason. Everything is not an excuse for why you played poorly.
Someone says, if I'm a head coach, I'm not letting any of my players eat any food from any out-of-town area before the Super Bowl. Just not smart. I mean, we're going to bring in...
Oh, what, you think the catering staff can't not wash his hands before he came back from the bathroom? Yeah, only restaurants.
Now, there was...
Those are the only ones where you can be contaminated.
There was a story. Someone texted in, and I Googled it. I guess it's true. Somebody ran seven marathons recently in 7 days on seven different continents. The only thing he ate was chicken nuggets and Gatorade to ensure he wouldn't get food poisoning. He's like, I know I can't get food poisoning from the Gatorade and those frozen chicken nuggets.
I'm pretty sure you can get food poisoning from chicken nuggets.
I think the chances of the frozen chicken nuggets are pretty low versus, let's just keep using the seafood analogy. Fresh seafood.
Also, you
know? Yeah, but like, it's not like they've never had a Listeria callback because like some, you know me foods that like have like peanut butter, it's got salmonella. Don't eat your peanut butter. Like, it happens all the time. It's food. There's a risk.
Did this person actually do this? Or is this just one of those weird texts? Because seven marathons in 7 days on seven different countries is insane. That's insane. I don't know. So you're not only traveling.
Literally,
you're doing
if you Google it, there's literally worldmarathonchallenge.com. The challenge is seven marathons, seven continents, 7 days. It's a thing. Like, it's an actual.
That's insane.
It's an actual thing. That none of us will ever be able to relate to.
From but somebody who's ran multiple mini marathons or half marathons.
You've run some halves?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Marathons?
Yeah, January 31st next year, because that means the one's just wrapped up. But next year, it'll be obviously the continents, but like just it lists the specific cities and everything. But Ultima Base Camp in Antarctica, followed by marathons in Cape Town, Africa, Perth, Australia, Dubai, Asia, Madrid, Europe, Fortaleza, South America, and Miami, North America.
It's also not very healthy, as you can imagine.
What do you mean?
For you to do that on back to for you to do that 7 days in a row.
But these guys are just—they're obviously at a whole different level of like.
I know, but you're like it doesn't that to put that much wear on your body. I think is. I mean, you would say I don't know if
but your body. I mean, Same thing with the Tour de France or whatever. Like, nobody's like, you know,
sure,
that's straining your body, but like they're trained there. That's their training. That's what they're, that's how they're competing, you know?
Yeah, but it's biking. I know that there's mountain days, but they even take days off in between on occasion. Yeah. That'd be like Sporting playing seven straight days a week, 90 minutes, and the starting lineup is the exact same. You're playing all 90 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. It's not. I don't know that it's a good idea, but also, like, I don't know.
Some dude did this in 2003. He had a heart attack. After he had a heart attack, he did this. He had a double bypass, and now he went out and did the 777. That is insane. How impressive is that? You had a heart attack, and then you went the next year and said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to test this heart out. We're doing seven marathons in 7 days.
I can only say a few things with utmost confidence in my life. And one of them is that I, Cody Tapp, will never run a marathon in my entire life. I'm not going to accidentally be like, you know what? I'm a runner now.
Would you walk one?
No, not doing a marathon.
Okay.
I don't think I will ever do a marathon either. I think at some point I would
0.000% chance.
One year I would like to, because I haven't done it since I was a kid, I would like to just do, you know, like a 5K again or something like that. You know,
5K
that's
again.
Way different than a marathon.
Do a mini? A half?
No, I don't think so. No. I'm trying to start doing some cardio stuff. I've been going to the gym recently. I'd like to get to the point where, and you know, where I can like go and do a 5K and be respectable. But marathon, come on now, that's never happening.
If you guys do,
it's also just not a goal of mine. Like I wouldn't like. There's not
why. What's why that? Is it better than Indy?
Because it's part of the month of May. It basically kicks off the month of May for the Indy 500. It's a big deal. You run you run a lap around the track. You can kiss the bricks if you want to. You can do everything like that. You run from the circle all the way out to essentially the speedway and then back.
Well, so can you imagine the flight after the marathon in your way? Imagine this. You're six continents down, six marathons. You got one left and you're trying to fly to Miami for the final leg. And then there's a dead corpse next to you on the flight. Could you imagine? All of a sudden it throws off your entire marathon. It'd be awful.
Yeah, I'm not. No.
Things are going great. And then on that flight, it all falls apart.
Somebody said the Superbone wouldn't allow you to run a marathon. And honest to God,
true.
That is not, it's not even a joke. That is an accurate depiction of my medical condition. Mm. I would not get through 13 miles before my feet fell apart. Hmm. I've decided, I think I'm like, so I keep trying to do like, you know, like for the most part, I do like stationary bike and stuff.
Okay.
Like rather than like run on a treadmill, because again, the impact stuff is not good on my foot.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I think I'm just going to swim laps. It seems like I've got a gym membership that, you know, we utilize. Mm-hmm. The kids go to the pool there and stuff, and they take swim lessons there and all that stuff. And it's got lap lanes. I'll swim laps. That feels like low impact, right? I feel like I'm going to switch into a lap swimming guy. Although, how many laps can I do before I'm like utterly exhausted? Like, I'm a pretty decent swimmer, but like, how
in terms
many
of down
full,
back, down
like,
back?
Yeah, two? Like, I mean, there's no way, at least when you first start, dude,
oh, yeah.
They're going to wipe you out. You're going to get down to the end, and I'm going to be like gasping for breath. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, it's good. It feels good. Even just doing I'm doing like the bare minimum treadmill, like 30 minutes every other day kind of thing. And it feels good. Yeah. Tonight again. Yeah.
Doing the elliptical at all yet? Or is
just
it
treadmill right now.
Treadmill?
Just treadmill right now.
Nice.
And then hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll start trying to do a little strength stuff. But I just wanted to get in a little bit better cardio shape. And I can tell there's a difference. Like it's easier than it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. It's working.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
You'll be in an hour in no time, you know?
Or I'll just go fat. I don't know if I want to do an hour because like that just is boring to me. I think I would just speed. I would just go fat. I would just
run faster.
Yeah,
run.
I would just run versus an hour on a treadmill. I think that's just boring for me.
Treadmill.
I would have to 40 minutes max, and I would just go faster because sitting there running for an hour or walking for an hour, that's boring.
Would you be more likely to not go to the gym but go to like when it's warmer outside to go to like a park and run on trails?
No, I think I always prefer the gym. I'm not big on.
I like being outside. I ride my bike outside in the summer more.
Yeah.
Again, no impact, and I can just ride
there's
my
a
bike.
Park up in Parkville that I discovered out of nowhere, and it's a good spot.
When I was living in Waldo, I used to ride my bike here.
Yeah.
Really?
To work. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Sorry. Someone said maybe the dead body was the person trying to do the marathon thing and then had a heart attack.
Lesson learned, you know? That's what we're all trying to figure out.
I got this text from somebody that would know. So we were talking about Travis Kelce, and obviously, Brett Veach saying he was sick during the game, and we were joking about the food and like, you know, what did he eat or whatever. The night before the game, I guess, a very, very popular chef offered to make a meal.
Okay.
And that was turned down because that chef was an Eagles fan.
And they weren't going to risk it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not going to poison an entire NFL team. It's too obvious.
The offer was made. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I guess some other players had some bubble guts going into the game.
Oh. You know what's funny? It's like it got mentioned with the Eagles before the game. Remember there was like an illness going through their locker room?
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody mentioned it on the Chiefs end. That was not reported before the Chiefs game. It was reported from the Eagles side, as you recall, because like Jalen Carter had missed a practice earlier in the week or the week before.
That was just the flu, wasn't it? The regular flu?
Yeah, but it could have been for the Chiefs too.
Sure,
I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know what the, again, I, you know, and someone says that's an excuse, not a reason. What qualifies as reason versus excuse? Like, let's say, like, so Vinny.
Because they lost probably is why people say it's an excuse.
Know, I don't know. I think it just gets used too much in sports. We use excuse too strongly in there, but if Alex missed work or had a bad radio show because he had, you know, food poisoning the entire time, we wouldn't
call it a reason.
We wouldn't call it an excuse that he missed work. We would call it the reason why he missed. He's not giving me excuses. Oh, can't come into work today, huh, Alex? Mr. Excuse Maker,
because
his tummy hurts.
You would
no,
call that,
the reason why he's unavailable.
That would be called an excused absence, though, in a way. So it is an excuse, which is where things obviously is to gray line.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Random question of the day.
Random question of the day.
I mean, it
random
might be trash, question. Too. I don't know.
So this one, I sent to Cody. I sent this one to Cody, and we were like, should we do it for trash of the day? And he's like, let's do it for random. So this was something I came across. I'm not on TikTok.
But so how did you come across it?
So, well, Twitter. That's people post the TikTok trend. So there's a new trend. I don't know if you've seen the videos. There's a new trend where people are trying to challenge themselves by dropping different weights of thing, you know, heavy objects on their feet and their reactions.
What?
How dumb is this?
Okay.
Yeah, go for you. You can have the question.
So I guess the question for you, Gold, for you, Drew, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, we live stream the show. Do you think, this is the question I had thought about. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is any more or less dumb than the things we were doing as kids that just weren't on the air?
Yes.
Because a show named Jackass came out.
I understand.
When we were kids. And I've been pushed in a shopping cart.
Yeah.
I told you I've been tied to the sled in the back of a car.
That stuff sounds fun. Does it sound fun just to stand there and let me drop a book? No, now let me drop a brick on my foot. That's not even fun, though. You know what I mean? Like, the shopping cart thing, I could see the enjoyment there.
You're saying, like, if you're...
I wasn't eating Tide Pods as a kid. I don't know about you. That was another dumb challenge people did.
I was too old for the Tide
Pods. Yes, we all did dumb stuff growing up, but I think there were some of the things you did, what you just described, where I'm like, oh, I can see why that's fun and enjoyable.
I did some things that certainly were at risk of hurting myself.
The challenge is record yourself dropping different heavy objects on your foot to see how you react. I mean, is it any dumber? This is the dumbest one I've heard.
I guess they slowly drop heavier and heavier things.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
To see how much they can like handle the challenge. How heavy of a thing do you think you could drop on your foot before?
Well, your foot's going to break. You're going to break bone in your foot.
Let's say I give you $100 for every heavier thing and I put a big line in there. How heavy before you're out?
It depends. I'd have to have
We'll start with a paperback book. You're obviously taking the $100 there.
Of course. That's not heavy. Yeah.
You know? But like, look, I'm not going to make you drop a 20-pound dumbbell on your foot, that will break it.
Dropping just a big pike, a big like...
Yeah, like let's say this rocks glass.
Yeah, that's not going to...
Would you drop that $100?
Might break over your foot.
You dropping that on your foot?
Yeah. You have shoes on.
How about the whiskey bottle?
No.
You dropping that on your foot for $100?
Oh,
I'd probably drop that on my foot for $100.
No, that's going to break your... That's going to break.
Shoes on. Oh, yeah.
The whiskey bottle?
I dropped the whiskey bottle.
I'm trying to think what would possibly break my toe or foot.
I might be out after the whiskey bottle.
I've dropped a bottle like that. I've dropped a wine bottle on my foot at a restaurant.
So yes, I've dropped, like, we've dropped a beer bottle on your foot before.
Yeah, sure.
But a full whiskey bottle, that might be pushing, it might break your, if it hits the right spot, it's breaking a toe.
If it hits the right spot, it might, but it might not. I'd probably take the $100.
So where do you draw the line?
But again, it has to be money.
What about,
I'd probably do a dictionary.
I'm looking around the room, yeah.
I'd probably go up to at least a dictionary.
Oh, I'd rather have this is weird. I don't know the weight thing, but just maybe it's the perception. I would rather have a dictionary drop on my foot than a glass bottle. That's just me. I don't know why.
It's got to be the glass. It's got to be the
chance of the glass breaking.
Yeah.
Because the weight distribution, I guess, would be a little bit better.
That's what I'm thinking. It's just going to be a flat versus one direct hit on the big toe.
You think less likely a corner gets you or some weird part of the bottle? Eh, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. What about like a 10-pound dumbbell?
Absolutely not.
No, I'm out. No,
Cody, I just hold
that,
it.
I hold it
above your foot right now. Think
right
about
here?
It. I hold it and I just
shorter,
drop
shorter
it
height
right the, on your foot.
That would break something.
That's probably about my breaking.
Are you
point.
Volunteering to
I think
mimic?
I probably would do the if someone's gonna pay me $100 for each thing I drop on my foot, sure. For free, no. That's the thing.
That's what they're doing it for free, just for social media clout on TikTok.
Free. If they get enough views, maybe they're in the creator fund. Yeah,
this was
know.
The I dumbest
think I
challenge.
I think I liked it a lot more when, to your point, Cody, we didn't do things like this. Like we just did stuff because we were having fun. We didn't do it
but
because
they
we wanted
also
to be,
think it's just no, fun.
I
I'm on social media. It's the collective shared thing. We're all doing this stupid thing, but we're doing it fun. I did a lot of stupid things for fun once again. But I used to jump off the roof of my neighbor or like a neighbor kid's house, and then we'd figure out if we were better at tucking and rolling.
I think you could argue, are you actually having fun doing this? Or are you doing it because other people are doing it and it's a challenge?
I
know that there was peer pressure, yes, when we did things as well. But I feel like they're along the lines of you're in the moment, you're enjoying the moment for being in the moment. Not if you make sure, because listen, if you break the bottle, but the camera angle wasn't correct, are you going to drop another bottle just so you can make sure the camera angle was correct? That's where we're at in society today.
If it's that, it's different. But, like, I do think that there's a part of you that, like, you're doing this thing because you're with somebody. You think it's fun. You're part of a collective. Mm-hmm. For the same reason, again, I told you I was, like, jumping off roofs or Alex, someone correctly put it out, jump through a table. Now, he was doing that for content. Right, he was doing that.
They're playing the Bills that week. We decided to jump through a table on the show, and our boss was very worried. I had to wear a football helmet. Okay, like it wasn't like I was just. I even wore a football helmet and pads.
But like I think it's
because they were worried about it. The company was.
I don't think it's as different as we're making it out to be. It seems dumber because you're just dropping things on your foot. But I'm just telling you, man.
I don't know.
I did a lot of stupid things.
I might be the social media like, content aspect of it
for the harm part.
Of you
but
filming
like,
it.
Well, maybe it's better because at least they're getting some like interaction out of it. You know, we're doing this stuff. Who was there to see it? I was going to tell Drew later that
interaction on social media is not real interaction as far as I'm concerned. That's false. That's not the real world. Those are not really your friends.
Sure, but it's giving you the serotonin boost, right? Yeah.
So what is the dumbest thing that you've done then? Because I think this is
jumping off the roof, probably up there, or
getting arrested for the
holding. Okay, the likely stuff. Ways in which that's really low on the like because the other things could have killed me. So like one time we were driving through windy roads in a lake thing, taking turns holding onto the roof of the car while they like twist and turn into that. That's probably on the
you
list.
See this one? Someone says
jumping off the roofs. Probably somewhere on the list. I mean, I don't know. We did all kinds of bad stuff.
They didn't do this on purpose, I assume. But going back to the dropping stuff on your feet, someone said they dropped a, this is awful, dropped a butcher table on their foot, had their toe cut off.
Oh! Well, that guy wins the challenge, I guess, if he's got video.
Yeah, 300-pound butcher table on their foot and they cut their toe off. That's painful.
Also,
painful to think about.
If
right
you're
now.
Doing something,
would you just pass out from the? Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Sir,
did you just mention the pass out game? We did that.
Did you? Well, no. I mean, from the person whose toe got cut off, did you pass out right away? Like the pain, and then you saw the toe. Did you pass out or no? I would hope I passed out.
God, great question. I don't know,
Cody.
I would think that's possible.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. You can do this. Guaranteed to get you 1 million views and you make some serious money on it, but you lose your toe.
What is he dropping?
The butcher table. Are you cutting your toe off for 1 million views and some money? Because
$1 million?
You cut the toe off for $1 million?
No, 1 million
I'd
views.
I'd like to take garden shears.
1 million views.
Views?
And,
oh,
views
dollars.
On the video and that transitions into a lot of money afterwards.
$1 million,
you can take garden shears to my toe right now.
What?
And cut it off in the middle of the show. I'll put it on camera. $1 million? Just a toe.
No pain meds?
Just a toe.
Like, no pain meds. Now, they'll give you care so you don't bleed out or anything, but like...
Yeah. See, they're going to cauterize it or whatever?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, $1 million. You can
but
have the
But the pain's there. No pain meds.
Oh, fine.
To me, that is that might be as bad as the Tide Pod Challenge. Because you're doing it for... You're not...
I'm doing it for $1 million. That's not for nothing. That's a lot of money. I don't know that any
text. I agree with you. This text describes the difference. Someone says, everything we did maybe as a kid, you say, oh, let's do it again. None of these new stupid things you can say that. Like, you're not like,
it's a good
I'm
going to
keep,
it.
Like,
describe it.
What you said about, like, it would probably be really fun, yeah, be on the roof of a car or whatever while they're turning.
That's pretty fun.
You would do it again maybe when you were back,
not now, but back then.
You would do it again. Ugh. I don't think you're saying, well, I'm going to keep dropping this butcher's table on my foot over and over and over and over and over.
No, that one just
that's
for
painful.
Direct financial, yeah. But I don't think they're dropping it.
Or even the dumbbell. I'm not going to drop a 10-pound dumbbell 20
Someone says
times.
It's going to be $200 to drop that 10-pound dumbbell on my foot.
Do it.
$200?
Right on the show right now.
Good.
You know, let's go.
I have a 10-pound dumbbell.
We can find something. Somebody in another room might.
I have a 10-pound dumbbell I can actually bring tomorrow.
Will you bring it so I can get an idea of the weight?
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to take a photo of this guy's number just in case he's still offering this $200 tomorrow.
So this is 50K. I'm on my way to the station for you to drop my toe off live on the air right now.
500? I said, I need $1 million.
They said, what about your hand? What about your hand?
My whole hand? No. Okay. That's going to need to be like enough money that I definitely don't have to work for the rest of my life. So like, I'm going to need
15 mil?
Yeah, 15, 20, like something I don't have to work for the rest of my life.
Like you're going to say I'm lying and I'm not. There's no dollar amount to lose my hand. Absolutely not. That's way too important. A toe, you can obviously, a hand, dude, that's totally impacting your life in a major way. A toe, yeah, you're going to be fine. A hand, that is drastically changing how you live, man.
Yeah, it is.
No.
But for $20 million, $20 million also drastically changing the way I live.
Yeah, but it's not, better.
How many needs to be tax-free, to be clear? It can't be like Uncle Sam's coming to dip into my pocket after the $20 million to cut my hand off.
Yeah.
Okay, now people are offering 55-pound plates. Sorry, that's...
That's gonna shatter my foot into a million
pieces.
Yeah,
it's not just gonna break it, right?
You're gonna have surgery, and you're never gonna walk the same again.
Real mixed bag over there, by the way. Some people in the text line saying, "Sure, I do it for $1 million too," but other people are like, "No, not $1 million."
Yeah.
Someone says you could live without your non-dominant.
Well, you can live. Yes. I'm just saying, how enjoyable is life gonna be? You just can't. Yeah, you're not gonna go about your normal routine. That's awful.
Someone says, "Buy a new hand." I get a sweet ass robot hand for that.
Jeez, that's awful.
Use that $1 million to buy yourself a new hand.
That's terrible.
Part Terminator. Sweet.
Terrible. That's the random question of the day. Up next, up next, we'll get to what's trending and then talk a little bit more about what the importance of this season is going to mean for one particular Royals player. That's next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries, land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending, we mentioned the NFLPA grades are out today. It's the third year they've done this survey. It's completely anonymous from NFL players. 77% of players responded. Last year, Clark Hunt had an F- grade. This year, it's up to a C or C minus, I think it is.
Turning some late work.
Treatment of families went from a D all the way up to an A now, and that's because they added a daycare during the day of game days and things like that. It shows that there's some improvement happening. The theme, though, with all these, if you have a new stadium, therefore new locker rooms, new practice facilities, typically your grades are going to be much, much better. I look at the coach rankings. Three teams had the lowest ranking for their coach, and they were all C grades.
Okay.
Two of the three ended up firing their coaches.
Raiders?
Jacksonville, Cleveland, and... I just drew a blank. Three teams. The Jets had it. Their coach ended up getting a B rating. But two of the coaches got Chicago, thank you.
Oh, Chicago.
Chicago, Cleveland, and Jacksonville. And only the Cleveland Browns kept their coach.
Next up on What's Trending, MU got a win last night. 30 points over South Carolina, Kansas State versus UCF tonight at 5 o'clock. Pre-game starts right here on 96.5 The Game. Or fan, the game starts at 6 for Kansas. Kansas State needs... Again, their only run is to go through the Big 12 tournament, but boy, they could use a feel-good win here so that maybe they can go into here in a couple of weeks the Big 12 tournament with some confidence.
Yeah, conference expansion. The tournament now starts on Tuesday and goes all the way through Saturday. It's like all of these other expanded conferences as well. Next on What's Trending, Sporting Kansas City unfortunately eliminated from the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They lost 3-1 last night to Inter Miami. That means in aggregate, they fell 4-1. So they are eliminated from that. Now it's just regular MLS play Saturday when they host San Jose.
Next up on What's Trending, the Tennessee Titans say they'll let veteran linebacker Harold Landry seek a trade this offseason. The veteran linebacker has 2 years remaining on his deal with about $50 million left on it. But he's been averaging 10 to 11 sacks a year each of the last 3 years. Kind of feels like you'd have a suitor for that. It's always just less than you think. That's always like the acquiring team do that. But Borgazzi knows, the former Chiefs front office guy, that they're going to have to manipulate some of this in order to kind of get themselves back on track. Draft picks are more valuable than keeping aging veterans on expensive contracts. He's only 28 years old. I imagine there'll be somebody out there interested in Harold Landry.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I want to get to something before we get back to baseball. I mentioned a player that has a huge year ahead of him. So Jordan Schultz is reporting that Raiders minority owner Tom Brady recently hosted Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford at his home in Montana, where they spent time together, went skiing. Brady has been actively trying to convince Stafford to join the Raiders. Several teams are And Stafford, if the Rams decide to move him, with Las Vegas believed to be the most aggressive suitor.
Yeah.
Now, Stafford is still under contract with the Rams,
they've
but we all know
permission, and
they've given his agent permission. Maybe that's the difference. Otherwise, how is that not tampering? Tom Brady is a minority owner of a team. How is he able to just meet with free agents? He gave him permission to seek a trade.
The free agency period isn't open. Could Trey Smith go to Tom Brady's house and just have dinner? Even if they gave him permission, like, for any free agent? And I get it. Like, technically, well, Stafford's not a free agent.
He's permission to seek a trade.
I know he's not a free agent. I still feel like there is no way this is common operating procedure. So, for instance, Harold Landry, a player we just mentioned who can seek a trade, is he allowed to just go have dinner with the owners of other, or the GMs or other players? Like, if Patrick Mahomes wants Harold Landry here, can he just buy Harold Landry dinner? Can they go get surf and turf tonight at Capitol Grill? And he just be like, come on, man, come play with me. I don't feel like that's how it works, man.
I could be
even,
way off.
Even if they're a player who's allowed to be traded, I guess it is. Otherwise, they wouldn't make this public information. But
yeah, I mean, we're both way off, but you and I have the same reaction to that. And I understand, yes, he was given permission. His agent was given permission to seek a trade. And I guess by seeking a trade, that means the quarterback can go and meet with.
Can the quarterback or can your agent?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. The agent can. I didn't know that the quarterback can go and hang out with owners of other teams to discuss a potential. And by the way, it's not saying, oh, they were just hanging out as friends. No, it's admitting they were hanging out to discuss Stafford moving to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Maybe it's allowed in a gray area. And you I just assumed that this was agents because you'd rather do these things behind closed doors. I am surprised to find out that the owner of an NFL franchise is allowed to just have dinner and hang out with a opposing team's quarterback who is actively under contract. I understand that the Rams want to trade him, right? Like, I get it. But I'm still surprised that you're allowed to do that, aren't you? Like, doesn't this seem like it's... this would be against the rules in some way?
I just thought the player part was different, that's all.
Someone else, I mean, how else do you, they give permission to talk, how else do you do it? I was like, with agents. Like, and I, yeah, you're right. But also, like, this is, I guess, the problem with, like, grayer and stuff. It's like, so Andy Reid can't send a text to Jeremy Maclin,
right.
who was a free agent, but Tom Brady can go skiing in Montana with Matthew Stafford while he's under contract? I don't know, man. Phew. Like, it seems sketchy at best.
Someone just said it's Tom Brady, so he doesn't play by the same rules anyway.
He already doesn't. They were already altering rules to let him sit into some meetings he wasn't originally supposed to sit in. And they can tell me all the nonsense they want that is like, oh, he's not using that. Of course he is. If Tom Brady talked to somebody about how their organization ran, he is using that information to tell his team how to run their organization better. Like, it's foolish to think that that's not the place. So he's already coloring outside the lines. It's nonsense.
We're way ahead of ourselves here because we don't know if Stafford's getting traded and could it be the Rams. But if Stafford got traded to the Raiders, instantly it's the best quarterback the Raiders have had since... since...
Jeff Hostetler?
Rich Gannon? Gannon? Honestly, that's probably the answer, Cody. Rich Gannon. Derek Carr was an MVP candidate 1 year, but Matt Stafford
has... Rich Gannon won an MVP,
An MVP, sorry. Yeah, and Rich Gannon won one. Yeah, and Derek Carr was a candidate, so maybe that's it. Maybe that year of Derek Carr. Otherwise, Stafford, though, had a ring. Stafford has won a Super Bowl ring and is still playing at a high level. That'd be a hell of a get for Pete Carroll, though. I'll tell you that.
Would the Raiders be the best quarterback division in all of football by a mile.
Yeah. Knicks, Herbert, Mahomes, and Stafford with Pete Carroll and Sean Payton and Harbaugh and Andy Reid. That's a hell of a division. Now, do I think
four
that suddenly
Hall of Fame
the
head coaches and do four I, maybe Hall of Fame? Not.
Do I think suddenly the Raiders are going to win the division? Of course not. But it means the chances of being the top seed, I think, are I don't say impossible, but it becomes very difficult if you're Kansas City, I think, at that point, to be a top seed because the days of sweeping the division, and look, they would have swept the division if they tried to win the last week. The Chiefs went 5-1 this year in the AFC West, but they gave up in the last week of the season. Otherwise, they probably would have swept it.
I don't want to make this seem like it's sour. Like, people in Kansas City, they're always going to be like, it's sour grapes because you want Mahomes to catch him. This has nothing to do with what he did on the field. But because what he did, they are allowing him to do things no other organization is allowed to do. Clark Hunt, for instance, is not allowed to be critical of the referees. Tom Brady calls games in which he's like, they missed that call. Clark's not even allowed to do that. Does that matter for competitive balance purposes? No, probably not. But the whole point is like even and there's no leverage point on a different thing. Like Tom Brady shouldn't be allowed to sit in any of the meetings that other owners or let Clark Hunt start going to the NBC TV meetings, you know? Like, it shouldn't be that one person has the advantage. Not to mention, he's an owner who they're allowing to essentially be de facto GM in some ways, which some are, right? Jerry Jones is, which makes it even sketchier to allow him to just, like, go on these vacations. You and I might be wrong, and yeah. It sounds like most people seem to not think it's a big deal at all that Tom Brady and Matt Stafford are doing because they gave him permission to seek a trade. But I don't know, man. That just
when even if they're not discussing
wild.
Anything, like, football-wise, like, the fact that if you go on a skiing trip a ton, like you're hanging out with another quarterback, I know, okay, I could do this maybe more often if I'm with the Raiders. I can hang out with Tom. You know, I like Tom. You know, we're good. You know, he's a good dude. Even if it's not, hey, come to the Raiders, the concept of being able to hang out with him in a way that is friendly and in a way that is relatable, I think, for him too, it stands out a little bit where, hey, he just off of the cuff after that vacation or that time spent, he might be more willing to raise the Raiders up on his list a little bit more if teams he'd be willing to be traded to because, hey, I can go to a spot where this guy knows what he's talking about in terms of quarterback play because, you know, he's been there and done it. I'm cool with him. We can go on another skiing trip together. Whatever the case is, it's a friendly gesture that can maybe develop into, I might want to do that again, so I'm gonna sign with the Raiders more than, hey, come to the Raiders because Tom told me that it's going to be a great organization in the next 5 years.
Look, that's the job of the agents and the job of these teams because the Raiders obviously want a really good quarterback. Reportedly, the Giants have been trying really hard to convince Stafford, too, and all the other stuff, right? I guess I just don't think, like, and I guess technically because, like, owners can be GMs, it's all in the same boat. Like, what's the difference between the agent? It doesn't feel like a player, even if they're allowed to pursue a trade, should be like, in a lot of ways, I feel like they're letting Stafford get away with something here. Like, too, where it's like, I don't feel like a player is supposed to just be like, I don't know.
It's a weird gray area.
I'm guessing what it is the Rams.
It is a weird gray area. It's probably technically fine, but it just feels
the Rams gave him permission, so that's
weird.
It. That's basically, the Rams gave his agent permission, so that probably allows you to do whatever you want. Anyway.
I mean, if Tom wasn't a partial owner of the Raiders, this wouldn't even be a story, obviously, because he'd just be going on a yet again, with Tom Brady.
Yet again, like in the short term, it's big. Yet again, though, the Raiders still would not have a long-term answer at quarterback. So
I will say I am fascinated because this is now, I think, roughly the 10th story that has come out of Las Vegas about Tom Brady's trying to convince this player to go there or this coach to go there because he wants the Raiders to be good, right? So, like, he was trying to, like, the story was like he was trying to convince Bill Belichick. He was trying to convince this quarterback, this wide receiver. So, like, this continues to the theme. If he doesn't land any of these dudes, Tom Brady ain't exactly, like, solving the problem. I guess I don't think that a player will choose to go there just because they like Tom and Tom's telling you it's functional. Like,
they probably shouldn't.
They got bad ownership.
Yeah.
They got a new GM. You don't know if it's functional other than he likes Spytek in Tampa Bay. He doesn't know. Isn't that his name, Spytek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Brady and spying. I know it's very confusing. When you mention Brady and spying, you think of the cheating that they did, but you're right. Spytek is just the name of the GM. I understand the confusion. Let's talk about the Royals a little bit. MJ Melendez, this is a make or break season.
Yeah,
it's make or break season. He's changed up his stance. He's changed up, he's changed his batting style before, but this is a full blown change all the way around. He's still only 25 years old. Defensively, he's gotten better and better for a guy that was asked to change positions and play left field. I think he's actually been really, really good in left field if you consider where he came from. But this season changes his entire career trajectory. If we're still sitting here next October, or this October it is, and we say, hey, he's inconsistent. He had a bunch, you know, multiple 0-for-25 stretches or whatever it was. Then you cannot make plans in the future that he's your long-term answer. There's a lot of people that probably already done now. I'm willing to say this is the year. This is it.
I think there's no reason. 3 years in the league, that's the break point. Based on his age, how many games he's got. Look, if we want to go back to the old Dayton day and you got to get 1,000 at-bats or any of the other stuff that, like, you know, and I don't think that he's alone in that. That, like, organizations like to have a certain amount on paper before they just write off guys who, again, once had 40 home runs in a single minor league season and still are a, like, 17, 18 home run guy. So it's like the same thing. It's like, it feels like there's this untapped power that, and I'm afraid, and I think the Royals should be afraid of this too, that if MJ Melendez went to, like, Cincinnati, playing in one of these little, like, homer domes, that all of a sudden you'd be waking up and, yeah, maybe the batting average and the on-base percentage would still be low, but then he'd be hitting 30 home runs. He'd be like, damn, we just let a 30 home run guy walk for nothing? Because his value is no good right now. You couldn't trade MJ Melendez for some tremendous value. His value is not very high. I hope, man. I hope he finds some way to stick with it. Because I watched his spring training at bats. He's got five of them. I went through the trouble of watching all five. I know, crazy. I watched all five. He looks uncomfortable, is probably the kindest way to put it, Gold.
Makes sense. If he's only had five at-bats doing that, obviously he's worked behind the scenes. But
he doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. It looks like he's trying to, like, guess a little bit on what the best scenario is in this case. And I think that they've got every contingency plan in the world floating through. Weimer's is the contingency plan for Isbell. Massey and India are the contingency plan for MJ Melendez. And they're like putting all these little, because they didn't get the guy they wanted, Santander, in the outfield. They are putting all these little plans in place to cut bait earlier than they ever have. I don't think like this season is the last leg for MJ Melendez. I'm telling you right now, Gold, if it's 50 games in and it still ain't right, he's not going to be playing starter innings for this team anymore.
But, yeah, there's a reason why India and Massey are getting their work. I mean, they need more offense. They're not getting out of left field. You need to get offense out of left field.
I hope he turns it around.
Sure. He's a likable player, homegrown product, still only 25 years old. I think his defense is only going to keep getting better.
He's the best defensive guy of the three choices right now.
The other two just haven't played, for sure.
And MJ didn't start there, but now he's had 3 years under his belt, and he's a good athlete. So.
But we'll see, man. Like, I get the skepticism, because like we haven't seen it. And this feels like his career, the way we talk about it, can change entirely based off of this 2025 year. And that's tough on the player because he knows it, but you also can't put that kind of pressure on yourself going in. Otherwise, you will fail. So it's a tough balance for him. But the fact that he was willing to make a change, knowing that, hey, like the other thing, like I can occasionally produce this way. But if I want to actually become, you know, maybe a legit left fielder with the pop that's needed, the way I was hitting, even in the minors, that led me to 40 home runs. That's not going to work in the big leagues. It clearly hasn't.
Yeah. And I view it. And this is small, but like I'm willing to wait out the at-bats while they're bad because the simple reality of like why I don't care about what a pitcher's ERA is in spring training, Gold. It is designed as a 6-week run-up. It's a long run-up in baseball to make you comfortable, right? So you got MJ's got tons of at-bats left, Gold, against live pitching, both in practice and in real games. Where he's going to get to test this. The key is like he can't switch back. Because switching back is admitting what you don't want to and you shouldn't admit yet, which is I am not a full-time starter in the big leagues. At least not for this team. Because if you just go out there and you run up those same numbers again, you play 140 games, you hit .210 with a .290 on-base percentage or a .300 on-base percentage and hit 17 home runs, yeah, they're going to start kicking those numbers way, way, way down. And your innings are going to go down, and yeah, Massey and India are going to take those places and all those other stuff. I'm not completely out. I mean, I don't think I'd put it in any better a 10 or a 20% chance that it flips around at this point, but yeah. I don't think that it's impossible. I assume you don't either.
No, it's just unlikely. That's it. That's where things stand with him and what the expectation should be heading into the future.
Someone down here on the text line saying that JJ should be ashamed. So this is the worst outfield in the American League. It might be.
They tried to adjust it. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. No, I don't think it's a good outfield at all.
It might be one of the better infields.
Yeah, the outfield is a huge question mark. That is why Massey and India are being asked to maybe see what they got in left field because they know there's not enough pop. Like, the pop in the outfield doesn't exist. Hunter Renfroe had a stretch or two throughout the season. Kyle Isbell is a great defensive player, but that's kind of what you're getting. You got between left field and right field, you got to get way more production. And they were in on Anthony Santander. It didn't happen. They didn't make it happen. Midseason, could they make a move? Hopefully they're in a position to where that's what we're all saying they should be doing. Hopefully this team is competitive again and it's July and we're saying, hey, all right, go make a move. Go give up a prospect to go get a bat to help you right now to ensure that you win the division. I hope that's what we're saying a couple months from now.
It's weird. They've got like two players who just need to perform. And then they got two players who I think will perform just as long as they stay healthy. Like Massey and Vinny have done a pretty decent job performing for what they've been asked to do just as long as they stay healthy. And MJ is just the like, you're not having a hard time staying on a baseball field, but can you put up the numbers to do it? I'd say Renfroe ends up landing in that camp this year just because he's a veteran and they're going to have to like make moves faster. Isbell, I don't know how to break this to you in center field. You can go through every team in center field right now. I'm going to find you like three center fielders who can hit. It's might maybe slightly more than that. It is not a hitting position, especially at Kauffman Stadium. You need a guy who can play the damn field. Like, you know me, I'm team. I'd rather a guy slug it over the wall, and I'll trade offense for defense a lot of times, a lot more than the Royals have been willing to do over the last 15 or 20 years. But not at center. Like, somebody's got to play center who can actually track down a baseball. Otherwise, you just kind of run into these problems over and over again. It is such a huge – I don't know if you view it this way, and we can get into it maybe later in the week, but it's a really big swing year for me is like, do you know what you're doing as an organization? You did it once, but being a really good organization is like being able to repeat sustained success where you've got young, good talent all throughout your roster. And can you develop one guy to be bigger or a guy who is struggling into something bigger than what we thought? MJ feels like kind of the case study of that.
It's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of Cody and Gold tomorrow. Of course, check in with Vern. We haven't had a snitch line in a while. It feels like, you know what?
Do a little
it's
snitching?
Time for a little snitch line tomorrow, a Thursday edition of the show. Yeah,
you got them all saved up.
We'll also get to some comments from Mayor Q on the stadium front. Get back into that today. Remember the big meeting, air quotes, big meeting in Jefferson City today around the stadium front. And we'll see if anything new comes from that as well. So we'll be back at it tomorrow, 10 to 2. Up next, CDOT and Rob on the drive.